Prognosis Awesome. We are here for another week. It is almost Thanksgiving, a time where you spend with your families, whether you like it or not. A time where you do a lot of traveling, going places, which is always annoying, and time to engage in the greatest of all of American pastimes, gluttony, which is my favorite. Yes. And the voice you may have just heard is my favorite glutton. Someone who woke up at 11:30 today and accomplished, I believe, nothing. Gabby, was that? Oh, I'm sorry. I forget. I should introduce you before insulting you. This is my co-host, Gabby. Hi, Gabby.
Hi, Lou. Yeah. I mean, you should at least name your favorite glutton. Like, that people want to know who your favorite blessed person is, who your favorite prideful person is. We deserve to get the recognition that we've earned. So,
Gabby, do you know what I've discovered recently? I am obsessed with saying one of your names in my head.
Oh, okay. Which one is that?
Ibeiro. I like that. Sounds fun. It's fun to say. Right? Did I do it correctly?
Ibeiro. Yeah. Ibeiro. Close enough. Better than most people, I have to say. It's a Brazilian name. Most people get it super, super wrong. And I only use it to obscure my true identity. So,
okay. Yeah. So I'm going to do something unorthodox right now. I'm going to introduce our guest and then immediately unintroduce him. So everybody hold on to your butts. Oscar's on the podcast. Oscar, say Ibeiro. Isn't it fun?
Ribeiro, eu falo português pouco.
Oh, so good. All right, you're uninintroduced, Oscar. Oscar's out. He's back out.
Okay.
All right. But Gabby has life.
Why do we even bother having guests? We barely let them speak. They're kind of sectioned off into this separate no man's land of our podcast. But no, things are good. I drove 14 hours yesterday, which is I slept in today to travel to be with my boyfriend on the holiday. But yeah, I'm otherwise, besides my very lazy, I watched like an hour and a half, 2 hours of TV. I went for a little walk. That counts as the most productive thing I've done today.
Gabby Ribeiro, she's intent on traveling to every state in the union that is not this one, just to make sure. We're so happy to have her on the show, but we are going to have our guest on the show today. Who is our guest today? I don't know. If you live in Boston, you know this guy. He's the best. And he bartends at a place called Silvertone. And this is the music that he requested to be introduced to today. We have the very tall, the very sexy, the number one man. We got Oscar Simoes of Isla. How are you doing today, Oscar? Can you hear me, Oscar?
Barely. I think my eardrums are bleeding, but I think it's just the caffeine talking. That was perfect entrance. It's fine.
Are you fucking juiced up right now?
Yeah. I can just picture myself walking down the freaking aisle of things, just falling in my face. And she's like, it's fine. Just like bleeding down.
I'm good. Keep going. Keep the music going. I'm fine.
I'm going to go, yo. So hyped up.
Oscar, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing really, really good, man. Really good. Thanks for having me over. This is really a one-of-a-kind experience with me.
So we're picking up. But so, you know, it's one of those times where you think about the people that you like and the people that you love, and you see them being successful, and you do everything that you can to grab onto their coattails and maybe steal some of their success. We have a man on the up. He is local legend, Oscar. You see him behind the bar at Silvertone for years. He's a brand ambassador now. He's got all sorts of stuff going. Tell us about everything. What do you got going on, Oscar?
It's way too much of compact in one, sentence, but it's been just surreal. Been fantastic year. Pandemic aside and all this stuff. Little things.
Minus the 6 million deaths, pretty good.
Yeah, it's fantastic, Trade deals, oh, fantastic. We all good. It's been a great, great year. It all started last year or like 2 years ago with the whole Heimlich thing on the bar that just like caught fire and went national.
Well, Gabby, let me tell Gabby, Oscar saved somebody's life while bartending.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Were you like trained in that just like kicked in, or this was just some
stayed in a Holiday Inn Express?
You know what's funny? If you've seen the video, like, I've seen this fucking video. I've seen this. I was like, is that you? It's like, that's me. It's usually like,
so you went viral. Is this what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And, I didn't know we were in the presence of a celebrity.
No. See, listen, the year start is like, yo, this is my year. We made it. I'm fucking moving out of the fucking hoodlums. Pandemic strike. Just pandemic goes in. I'm like, God damn it. No, I it's my moment. No. Done. So that was the problem with that. But that was like the start of it, right? So the pandemic started, everything shut down. But when that happened, a couple things tag along with that. I got in touch. Oh, some people got in touch with me for a couple like TV shows, being guest appearance in a national stage, do talks and stuff, and all these like things like start happening, right?
Wow. But
like this is during the pandemic, so everybody shut down. And, like, I can't do shit. Like I'm like locked down. So the only time I managed to actually leave the state was to LA to film this whole show and all the thing. And I had to be locked down in a Universal Studios hotel, like a Hilton. Just that's like my whole experience. So what happened with that opened other doors. I got in this year when actually, you know, things started reopening. I started getting to do things like Mark got in touch with me.
Steve.
Either way. Bob. Steve. My guy. Either way. And they got in touch with me about Jack Daniels program called the Culture Shakers. So like kind of got my name on, you know, like my hat on the ring, and people recognize that I've been doing this for a while in bartending, and that this whole thing was just, you know, the opening of like the culture that I come from. So they were like, all right, cool, we're gonna start this program called Culture Shakers that Jack Daniels does, and they bring people with different backgrounds and stories, and they
I see you on my TV?
You definitely see that. That's the thing. Now you'll be like, I've seen this bald head before.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so when you said coming on this podcast, it was a once in a lifetime experience. You meant this is the most boring thing I'll do all year.
No. I was talking to Lou about this before we started recording. It's like him and I, me and Lou know each other for 7 years now, I believe, because I know Lou since I started Silverton, and that was 7 years ago. It's a while ago. But him and I have never. Like, I was still like, we know each other, we know we're cool, but we never actually sat down and talk ever. Like, this is the first time we actually sat down and be like, yo, let's have a conversation, like, you know, about life and things, to get to know each other. Like, I see him playing softball, I see him sweating and eating dirt. So, like, like we know each other, we're friends. Like, I mean, it's like anybody asking about Lou, like, yeah, it's my friend. Like, you know, like it's not an acquaintance, it's an actual friend. Like, I know he's a good guy. So this is the first time we actually sat down and have a conversation longer than 10 minutes, which is insane.
Exciting, folks? And like I said, it's purely selfish. I'm just trying to grab onto your coattails and steal everything that you have, Oscar. You know, you're just a future celebrity, and I want a fucking piece, Oscar.
I wish that meant something, dude. I mean, people are like, you're famous now. It's like, with all this dab and all these other words, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, that doesn't mean nothing, man. It's still the same guy, same goofy dude. You know, just we can talk about from, you know, Dungeons and Dragons all the way to
Death. Oh, yeah. And like, we're excited to have that guy on the show today. We've got Oscar Simo Zanisla, who is a brand ambassador. You know, your friend is on the up when you see him on a Twitter account that's not his. The Jack Daniels Twitter account tweeting him out there, everything going up for him. And we're so happy to have him on the show today. We are going to move on to our first segment where Gabby grills the fuck out of Oscar with her game. So Gabby, take it away.
All right. So most of our guests are friends of Lou, although I'm really going to look forward to, like, this sounds like this is the first time y'all are going to hang out, but I have a feeling that Oscar and I are actually going to be better friends than you two. And Lou,
done.
I'm sorry, you're going to be left in the dust.
I choose her too, frankly.
It happens. But anyway, so I get the good fortune to get to know our guests a little better through a game we like to call Identity Crisis.
Woo!
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you two names and you have to tell me which one you are more like. Okay. And if you don't know who the name is, I'll explain it, but it could be real, fictional, dead, alive, whatever. So are you ready, Oscar?
Done. Let's do this.
All right. Are you more like Coraline, the cartoon character with the button eyes?
I know she is.
Or Caroline Herrera, the fashion designer?
Ooh.
Oh, absolutely, Caroline. Button eyes.
Yeah, button eyes.
Yes.
Okay,
always looking for affection. Always looking for affection and real love. May come from your parents, your family, or another dark places.
Okay.
Great answer.
we have a people pleaser. I mean, this, like, this makes sense. You're like, you're the life of the party. You're getting people hyped. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Cool. I work in the basement. It's very dark in there. Nobody can see your eyes. Yeah. Fantastic.
Caroline. I mean, and like Carolina Dada is kind of known, or Carolina Dada, she's kind of known for being kind of dismissive and judgmental. So, you know, that's, I'm happy to have someone who's constantly looking for affection on this podcast. All right, next up, are you more like Minnie Mouse or Minnie Driver?
Oh boy, definitely. I think it might be Minnie Driver.
Minnie Driver? Okay. Yeah,
you are exotic.
I think
she's not. She's just she's got really black hair.
That's exotic, Gabby.
Yeah.
What is she, British, Irish?
And honestly, I would drive across the country to California to fuck Oscar, just like they did in
See? Somebody's have to do it. You know, just he's like for the team. He's for the team. Second for the team.
Wait, What was that?
Have you seen Good Will Hunting, Gabby?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, Gabby.
All right, Gabby, you're off the show.
Yeah.
No, I've seen it. I know her from other, I've got a huge crush on her. So she's, so again, a good answer. Things are looking up for this podcast.
Let's go.
All right.
I'm going to kick down 10 minutes. This is happening.
Last one. Are you more like Oscar Wilde or Steve Irwin? So Oscar Wilde.
Absolutely Steve Irwin. Like, absolutely. Okay. Like, all right. Venezuelan, and I love animals, and I love to be, you know, it's like, I'm very into animals. That it's not, you know, spiders or any insects. I love animals. Like, okay. I would say mammals most of all. And I'm very excitable by little things. You know, Steve Irwin, like, you see, like, a little, like, lizard, be like, oh my God, this is a lizard. It's like, it's exactly me. But, like, I'm excitable about other things. Like, really excitable about small things in life. So Steve Irwin.
Okay. You heard it here first, folks. Oscar is into mammals and little things. So that's what I learned from our game, Identity Crisis.
Woo! Identity Crisis. Wow. I think we know a lot about Oscar today already. You can hear his energy. You can't see him, but he looks very handsome. But we got to find out more. We got to find out about the good things in life, the beautiful things in life, the things that make the fireworks shoot off in your eyes. We want to hear about awesome stuff on this show, about the times where you felt powerful, about the times where you felt strong. So Oscar, do me a favor and tell me about something awesome.
Something awesome. Well, like the conversation we just having, with all this happening, the Celtics, the basketball team, sent me a letter and they're like, hey, we would like to have you as a part of Hero Amongst Us, a war show, Hero Amongst Us award. We would like to give you this award in the middle of the Celtics game. And I'm like, oh my God, that's insane. I played basketball for like most of my young years. My brother made it to pro. We love basketball. It's the only sport I will follow. Like, just let you know. So they got in touch with me. They gave me 5 tickets courtside to go to watch the game. And I'm like, this is fantastic. It was an awesome game as well. So we started deciding to drink. And you know what? Let's got dinner before going to the show. So we went to this place next to the arena and we kept drinking a little more. And then we tried to get some food. They don't serve food. So I'm extremely drunk on White Claw and tequila.
We know where this is going.
So I am like, you're slurring. I'm like, okay, well, let's get some food.
I'm a hero.
So we walk in there, we sit courtside, surreal. Like, I've only sat on like nosebleeders. So by the way, just if you know this, courtside, they serve actual hard booze. So I'm shooting more tequila. Robert Kraft is there buying his shots.
No.
I'm like the owner of the Patriots.
Oh, okay.
So we all say I'm sidelined with, you know, 4 of my best friends in the whole world sitting there shooting tequila. And I'm like, this is not real life. Like, I came to this country 15 years ago, most of this time illegal. And, you know, hiding from the feds and stuff. I'm courtside right now shooting tequila with the owner of the Pats. Like, this is not
the American dream.
At that point, the guy comes to me, taps me his shoulder, is like, hey man, it's about time to go in the middle of the floor and get your stuff. God. I am blackout drunk. Like, blackout drunk.
Oh no.
So, like,
walking. This is the awesome story. You remember that?
Yes,
right?
No, I'm having the time of my life. By the way, needless to say, my friends thought it was hilarious to wear shirts with my own face on it. So we all wear my face. I'm in the middle.
You
of
too?
A, yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
I'm down
oh my
with
gosh.
The silliness. So the four, it's like, you know, shiny that took a break, the lights come on, blah, blah, blah. This is full stadium. Like, this is places packed to the freaking rim. They're like, oh, blah, 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 you know, just let you know, blah, blah, here amongst us, Oscar Simosa. At that point, I have to walk in, and I have it here just fucking. She's like, all right, cool. I have to walk in with this thing. And I'm like, walk in the middle.
Don't trip.
And,
don't trip. Don't
yes.
Trip.
I was like, don't, you will stab yourself with this. Like,
yeah,
like,
that looks dangerous. It's so, for our listeners, it's basically a pointy diamond glass award that could definitely. Oh.
It looks like an arrowhead, and if you accidentally killed Bob Kraft with it, that would be national news.
It is, yeah. So walk in the middle dance floor, and I'm just like there with trophy, and they're like, I gotta start waving and go around, and I'm like, I sober up for 5-10 seconds, and I'm like, holy shit, not in a million years, never, I would expect myself to be in the middle of the court of the Celtics, first of all, getting an award. And getting, you know, a standing ovation from everybody, especially Robert Kraft. Like, this is fucking not real life.
Yeah.
So that moment I sobered up, I was like, this is insane. This is insane. This is insane. Don't cry. Don't you fucking cry. You don't be a bitch. Don't you fucking do it. Don't you do it. And then I saw my friends. I'm like, oh, God damn it. I'm doing it. So like, I got a little tear.
Man can cry. Man can
yes.
cry.
And I'm like, oh, it's not like flexing. I'm like crying, flexing. Remember. I was drunk. So it's like drunk crying. So I'm like,
crying. Oh
get
my
the
God.
Fuck out of the floor. The guy's like, get out. I'm like, okay. So that was one of the most special and awesome experiences I've ever had, because it just brought a lot into it. Like best friends, drinking, basketball, a knowledge man, and like, you know, actually be seen in the public eye after being illegal for so many years. And like, I can actually, you know, I'm there. I'm here. It felt really, really, really good and empowering. So wow. that's my moment.
What a crazy. Yeah. So there's so many questions to ask about it, right? Like, so you got it because you saved somebody's life in Silvertone, a video I've seen a 100 times. Like, you know, you saw this person, they're choking. Like, what went through your head at that point?
Nothing.
Like,
Yeah. Lou, nothing. Yeah. It's like one of those things, like, you know, people like, sounds so cliche and I hate it, but it's true. It's true. It's like people like, oh, I froze in the moment, or, you know, my body reacted. I'm glad to say, like, I'm the person that the body reacted. I was like, fuck, run. And the video, you can see me shoving the other bartender out of the way. Like, but at the moment, you didn't think, like, your body, you literally just goes. I don't have training, dude. I've never done any fucking training. Like, wow. I learned this shit from Baywatch. Like, sort of fucking
David Hasselhoff got you.
It's like literally Baywatch shit. And like, the girl on the national news, she's like, oh, well, so what do you learn? I was like, well, me and my mom and my siblings, by watching Baywatch, I learned this. And they're like, you're fucking with us. Like, what, she didn't say that. I was like,
that's the most American story ever, like, by the way. I learned it from American TV.
I was like, back in my village where we got TV in color, I watched Baywatch at 4:35.
That's like saying you learned how to cook an omelet by reading Playboy. It's like, what?
It doesn't make any sense. It never will fucking make any sense. But like at that moment, it's like weird how your brain operates. Like that adrenaline run out, just fucking sprint to it. And
wow,
was there. So it's like, no idea, right? It's like,
so how do you go back to bartending after something like that happens? You're like, all right, time to shake another daiquiri.
No, I get the head of the bar and my hands like, I'm fine. It's just like, I just want to go lifting now. This is so weird. It's just like, yes, like my body is like, it's the adrenaline was just rushing. Like, you didn't even think about it. And a lot of people get the question, it's like, how much do you tip you? You know, how much you give you? And it's like, how much you tip for that? Like, is it ever enough? But I always said, and what happened, gentleman is like, he was on the first day too, by the way. So it's fucking really, really, you know, embarrassing for him.
Did you steal his girl?
No, get out of here. No. He just reached over the bar and he's like, hey, mate, what's your name? And I was like, oh, my name is Oscar. And I was like, well, thank you for saving my life. Like, that's like, holy fuck. Like, that's like the best fucking tip you can give anybody, right? So thank you. It's going to be there for you and forever. And that's the only thing I always remember from this whole thing is shoving down the other bartender, which she is like 5'4", and like 125 pounds. So I'm just like fucking, you know, stiff arm and then get there. And that's all I remember. You get in there and just that. And it was, yeah, it was one of those things like start of the year for me. And that was like, it's been catching on.
Wow.
That is a crazy thing to hear. How did you find out about the TV stuff? Did they email you or call you or?
They email. So the security video comes out on Nate Gomes. You might know him. Him and I worked together and he had the entrance to the security camera. And I was like, hey man, something crazy just happened at work. Do you mind sending me this video? I think the camera took it, like it has it. And he says like, oh, yo, dude, that was fucking crazy. And people start clapping. I was like, yes, this looks staged. I'm like, I fucking know. This is weird, dude.
First of all, this is the only time a bartender's ever been happy to have a security camera above his bar. But...
ever. Especially Silvertone. Especially Silvertone.
I'll edit that part out.
Either way. So he sent me the video. And I sent the video to my best friend, Eric. And it's like, hey, man, like this shit just happened. I was like, it's fucking crazy. And it's like, he sent it to his dad. His dad is a firefighter, or was a firefighter at the time. And he's like, oh, that's fucking impressive. He goes through the whole spiel about fight and fly. Like, he talks to me. He sent this to the local news without telling me anything. I get a call next day by the owner, Dave. He's like, hey, Oscar, the news are here. What happened? I was like, I don't fucking know. What do you mean what happened? It's like, shit, here for you. I'm like, I was like, oh, shit. Like, what's happening? Like, am I getting deported? Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. It's like, why are they asking? He's like, oh, they want to talk to you. I'm like, the news or the cops? Well, who is it? It's like, oh, the news. Show up there, dude.
It's IN News. It's the news.
It's the news. It's literally the news, Inside Edition. It's like Cars. Like, I just fucking, you know, like took 10 bullets in the chest of somebody. I'm not saying like saving somebody's life is not a big deal. I'm just saying like, you will think this is a normal occurrence for people that in hospitality, right? Because you are with people all the time and they have knives, they have food they can choke on. There's always something that can happen. So knowing these things, like you will think it's normal, but it's not a normal occurrence.
Right.
So yeah, knuckle news are there. Everybody's just like asking questions, ting. And I didn't get a raise. I didn't get better schedule.
You never get a raise in restaurants. It just doesn't happen.
All I got was, did you name the restaurant on the video? Like, I didn't send the video, man. It's not me.
Like you're like dislodging food from someone's throat. It's like, come to Silvertone on Thursdays.
We are doing our best to keep you.
Yeah, come to our restaurant.
That happened, but yeah, that was it was an awesome experience, and you know, dealing with the whole thing. But that's what we talk about pre-show. Is it opened other doors, and we start taking those adventures, and all the good things brought a lot of bad things too. Like I was talking to Lou, like you learn a lot of like about contracts, NDAs, people trying to fuck you over about things, talk about fucking you over about money, of like appearance, what you can do, what you cannot do. And they all of a sudden own your brand or on your name or on your mustache. I don't even know. So, you know, you take the good with the bad and you learn about it. But it's always good to know that you have people like Lou on your bench to like talk about, you know, the legal things or the things that you don't know. So I will say that after all this happened, it's good to know that hospitality has given me close friends and people that I know that I can trust with this thing. So.
Yeah, so like most people hate lawyers and for very good reason, right? It's like we've done this to ourselves, that, but like, we can occasionally serve a purpose, which is nice. But enough about me, you'll never hear me say that again. But yeah, I want to go back to, so you get the TV interviews and the Celtics invited you in. How did you find out about the Celtics thing?
They text me, they call me, email me. It's so crazy how your information is out there. Once your name is on Facebook, they have where you live, they know where you are. Everybody knows. Oh, once your name is anywhere or you have your cell phone, they get you. Celtics just send me an email. Are you interested in this? I'm like, yes. Then ABC sends me a text. Is this Oscar Somoza? I'm like, oh God, here we go. Another fucking scam. Great. It's like, I'm not replying to this shit. They send me an email. Hey, Oscar, will you be interested to show yourself or have a appearance on To Tell the Truth? And I'm like, okay. Is this like the prince asking for money and I'm going to send him money and then never see it again? So I reply, you know, fuck it. Listen, you know, more of a curiosity. It's like, yeah, I want it. It'll be awesome. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, so you show you the story, blah, blah, blah. Somebody's going to reach out to you for casting. And I'm like, oh God, I never done a casting. So I was saying, Lou, like this whole setup and all these things happening right now is because like a lot of this started happening with a lot of meetings, a lot of Zoom. So this agent contacted me and he goes, hey, you want to be in the show? And I was like, okay, I'm getting my organs removed and I'm going to wake up in a bathtub. I'm like, yes, what show is it? And I was like, oh, let me tell the truth. I'm like, okay, this is checking out so far, they're good. we have a Zoom meeting. We talk about the things happening. They tell me, they go through, you know, the process of like, what happened? What's going on? You have videos, you have all those things. You got permission, you got clearance. Are you Oscar? I'm like, yes, I think I'm Oscar. I'm pretty sure it's me. So they're like, you know, we're going to fly you. We're going to pay for your stay. We're going to do all these things and you're going to be the show. I'm like, fantastic. I've never seen the show. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And they're like, you have to lie. And I'm like, fantastic. I'm a bartender. This is great. They're like, oh no, you're going to be there the show. You're going to pretend you're somebody else. You're going to lie about this. And then we're going to tell your story. And then you're going to have to lie. You're going to tell the truth about that one. I'm like, okay, that sounds fantastic. Go get flying to LA during the middle of the pandemic, the hive of the pandemic. By the way, there's not a single soul in the airplane. It's like me and the pilots. I'm like, this is not fucking real. Like, wow. You know, like, I'm like, this is weird. I'm wearing a mask. It's like, this lady's offering me hot towels and peanuts. I'm like, I'm going to die. Like, this is just weird. Get there. I have me stay in this hotel, which is next to the Universal Studios. And it's empty, right? Because it's the middle of the pandemic. So it's like, literally a ghost town. Imagine the creepiest freaking amusement park there is, because it's not a single soul. It's just like, you know, like innocent lost kind of looking amusement park. You're like, this is weird. Get to the show, which is filmed in the same studio as The Office. So I'm like, this is very nice. Freaking awesome. Take a bunch of pictures, post about it. They have me sit in a freaking room for 5 hours. And I'm like, I'm going to lose my mind here. Wow. I've never known how big a crew, a production crew for those shows are. There's 170 people for a TV show for two episodes. They film two episodes a day. I'm like, this is surreal. Meanwhile, they have me stay in the hotel, which I cannot leave, which I found out before leaving that if I did leave the hotel, I will break my contract because I didn't read my contract. And by doing so, they would kick me out of the freaking hotel and have me fly by my own means back home.
Yikes.
I was going to a party. And before I was leaving the lobby, I got asked, hey, Mr. Simosa, where are you heading at? I'm like, I'm going for a smoke. And I don't smoke. I have no smokes. I'm like, I'm going for a smoke. It's like, just let you know if you breach contract. They tell me the whole spiel. I'm like, holy shit, I have a chaperone. Either way, spend 4 days in a hotel room. 4 days. That's how much. Man. You have no idea how much Del Taco you can eat and Taco Bell and do like comparisons. Either way, get to the show. I have to pretend I'm a pancake artist, which, by the way, if you've seen the video, if you've seen the episode, I kill it. Killed it. Not even the pancake artists have more freaking knowledge about pancakes. I work at Giant E's on David Square, so I work brunch. Fucking kill.
The man knows his fucking pancake.
Absolutely murder the pancake artists. They asked the pancake artists what's the difference between a crepe and a pancake, and the guy didn't know. I was like, dude, you freaking what? You
fucking idiot.
It's baking powder, you fucking moron. And they asked me, and they're like, oh, you, blah, blah. And I'm like, Oscar, so what's the difference? I was like, oh, baking powder. Fucking, whoa! You can hear the background. People are like, crazy.
All right, Oscar, so I got a question for you here. These have been incredible stories, and like, what great success. And, you know, despite the fact that everyone else was suffering, I think you can feel really good about yourself. Like, don't think about everybody else suffering. A little bit.
No, it's fine. Yeah. My mom is like, we have no food. I'm like, fuck. But I have so much in this hotel room.
Oh, no.
So I want to ask you one last question. So let's say tomorrow you fall off a cliff. Your life flashes before your eyes. You mentioned God. A ton of moments from realizing you saved somebody's life to being center court on the Celtics to destroying a pancake artist on television. What is the last moment of any of the moments that you listed that flashes before your eyes right before you go?
Fuck, I will say it will be my dad's face. It'll be like, stay in Boston, don't come back.
But which one of those events? Which one of the events?
Oh, from what they just say it right now? Oh,
which
God.
One of the events would be the last one that you really
the last find? One it would be me sweating telling Jimmy Kimmel what a steak tip is.
There you go.
He didn't fucking know what a steak tip was. I'm like, do you fucking moron? You know what a steak tip is? I was like, I didn't know that was a freaking East Coast thing. And I'm just dying. And that's like last thing I see, just Jim McKimmel being stupid. And I'm like,
Oscar Simosa Misla, food educator, pancake artist destroyer, life saver, just a hype beast, extreme hype beast. What a fucking guy to have on the show today. Like unbelievable. We're so happy to have him on the show. Oscar, thanks for telling us about something awesome.
Something awesome?
No, thank you for doing that.
Thank you. I'm like, what? Thank you. I'm the one saying thank you for being here. Or else I'll just be in my couch drinking more coffee, which is a problem again. No, thank you for having me over, Lou. It's awesome.
No problem. We've loved talking to Oscar. With that, we're going to end the first segment of Prognosis Awesome, and we'll be right back.
Is your child a little too good looking? Worried that hot kids don't develop social awareness, senses of humor, or even personalities?
Yeah, my teachers were asking me out in kindergarten. That's how bad it was. I was golden until high school when I realized, I don't have any skills. The worst part is, it was preventable. Thanks a lot, Mom and Dad.
But what do you do if you have an Adonis of a kid that no amount of ill-fitting clothes and bowl cuts will diminish? Two words. Dr. Logan's Medically Unnecessary Orthodontic Devices. We here at Dilmuad use pointless and unwieldy headgear to mar the beauty of your child. The headgear wires critical skills like intellectual curiosity directly into their faces. They also learn things like making conversation and recognizing that other people have feelings. Denise was a beauty, but I got worried when she would answer knock-knock jokes by opening the nearest door. But as soon as the headgear came on, the other kids started to ignore her. That's when she started parroting stand-up comedy to get attention. I gotta say, her timing's really coming along. Dr. Logan's Medically Unnecessary Orthodontic Devices. Headgear they'll hate. Results you'll love.
We are back on Prognosis Awesome. We had a fucking roller coaster first half of stories and celebrities and TV shows and life saving. What the fuck have you done with your life this year, huh? Well, get on it. Do some shit, huh? Do some shit. Make your life worth living like our guest today, Oscar Simosa Misla, and our co-host, Gabriela Ribeiro. Is that good, Gabby? Did you like that one?
Beautiful. Okay. Beautiful. I'm going to send this to my Brazilian family so they can make fun of the gringo. Yeah.
Do Brazilians call me a gringo too?
I mean, they don't know about you, but they would. Like, okay, you are. Yeah, all right. Yeah. You are.
So I'm a gringo in many languages.
Yes.
Most of them speak Spanish. That's weird.
Yeah. But some of them Portuguese. So.
Like, I know I'm a gringo to Spanish speakers. I was just curious about Portuguese speakers, if I'm also gringo to them. And that has been confirmed today.
So what did you think we'd call you?
Damn. Colonizer. Colonizer. That's your
thing. Oh, hey, all right. Let's move on to the first segment. All right, you've won this round, Oscar.
Well, you guys won for the past 1,500 years. It's fine, dude. We got this one.
Yeah, I'll take a loss here. I think I've earned it, frankly, but, you know. And with that, we're going to move on to our first segment of the second half. Oscar told us great stories about all sorts of awesome success standing center court at the Celtics next to Bob Kraft hammering tequila. What a great story that is. But guess what, motherfuckers? We're tired of that shit. We don't want to talk about success anymore. We want to talk about the tough times, the rough times, the times that really define you. And as we say every week on this show, failure is nature's greatest teacher. So that's how we're going to get to know Oscar today, by hearing about the tough stuff. So Oscar, if you don't mind, tell me about something not awesome.
Well, I think it falls right into the holidays right now, right? Thanksgiving, Christmas, all this stuff. For almost 13 years, I could not go back home. You know, no family around, just friends you have in hospitality here and there, but they go back to the families. So for me, it was very, very hard to get used to that part of, being an illegal alien in the United States in Boston. So I was lucky enough that I had a lot of friends and family on the industry. So, like, you know, get myself sane to a point, but the remorse is back there. You know, like I could not be there the holidays with my dad. I could not be there to hold his hand when he passed away. Yeah. I could, like, this things that, you know, you're missing out. Cause at the end of the day, it's my dad died from Alzheimer's, which is freaking, by the way, the weirdest fucking disease in the world. And just show me, or like taught me a lot of things about myself and how I see things in life. That we all just memories. We are is literally the moments we had, the good ones, the bad ones, and how you remember those, right? If you think about yourself, how you build as a human, your memories is what builds you. It's what you are. Everything that you went through that builds you. So having all that taken away from you and all your memories, like just like, fuck you, you get none of this, none of it. Mm-hmm. It's really, really crazy to me. So for me, it would be the saddest time was, you know, spend all this Christmas and, you know, Hispanic people, we fucking love Christmas. I don't know why. We absolutely adore fucking Christmas, especially
it's
my mom.
It's a song.
It's a thing. Yeah, it's fucking, fuck you, Jose Feliciano. Fuck you. You did this to us. but it's like, it's a thing we love. A part of the Hispanic culture or, you know, South culture or South American culture is that we fucking love an opportunity to get together as a family. We love it. It's like, we love to get together with all the family members and drink and shoot the shit and see the cousins of the cousins of the cousins of the uncles that you don't, they're not your uncles, but you call them uncle. So not having dad for so long, kind of always, you know, people get happy in holidays. I will get sad in holidays now. I'll be like, think about holidays. I'll be like, fuck, I'm not with my family. Hi, mom. How you doing? Hey, cool. This FaceTime, but it's not the same. It will never be the same. So for me, the saddest thing, especially holidays now, now I'm lucky enough now that I can actually travel and say hi, but again, it's Venezuela. Why the fuck would I go there right now? It's just not a good idea. It's not a good idea. But my family can't fly out. So we've been lucky enough with that now. So I get to see most of my immediate family, brother, sister, mom. But I haven't seen my grandma. I haven't seen my granddad. Like I haven't seen, you know, my uncle, my aunt, like these people that brought me up, all these memories I have with them, all these cousins, all these people that I love, I still can't see them. So I will get hyped up for holidays. It's fucking holidays. You got to get hyped up. You love holidays, but I will always in the back of my head, I'll be like, fuck, I miss my family. So every time it's a holiday, gosh. A big holiday, I'm like, fuck, I missed, you know, go to Venezuela, buy, you know, 30 rack of beers and just play dominoes with the old man and just chill and talk about shit and like have all these fucking crazy cousins and all these big family, because the reunions over there are like parties here. There would be like 50 over plus people and they all bring food and they all bring booze and just like party, loud music, everybody respect each other, get the neighbor's neighbor, get the cousin's neighbor, now they're the uncles, now there's the cousins, like it's crazy.
So I wouldn't even know. I have so many questions I want to ask because you brought up so many interesting topics. I want to start with one thing. And, you know, as a guy who I've been in the service industry for a long time, and you find this out about a lot of service industry people, you know, there's a lot of people from different places in the service industry, a lot of immigrants, and you find out, and a lot of them, you know, are very private about it and they don't want to talk about it for obvious reasons. But you find like a lot of my very close friends simply can never go home. They can't, because if they leave the country, they cannot come back in, you know? And that is such like a crazy burden that is shared, that Oscar carried, but is shared by way more people than you expect, wouldn't it? There's, how many people do you know, Oscar, that are
you sharing always, that burden right you, now? That's the thing. You can literally go to any kitchen, any back of the house, and you can see them. Like you can see these humans fucking working their ass off, and they are, the other day they only have other friends, other cousins, they did the same thing and can move to the United States, but they cannot go back. And you can see this everywhere. They're not hitting, they're not like hiding from the law, and like they're there, they're working, they're here, you know, holidays, not holidays, they're just humans everywhere, every single place that you know has a job that requires, you know, people to be there, you're going to find us. You're going to find some of us there, or some of the people that just moved to this country with, you know, a hope of a better dream, or a hope to make it better for their family. How many I know? Dude, I don't know. How many grains of salt are in the
pot? Yeah,
I don't know. You know, it's like,
it's crazy. And it's yeah. such a, and like, just to have that hanging over your head constantly must just be the constant anxiety.
It's not only that, it's like, you made first year, fine. You still worry about it. You have that thing on your shoulder. You got to look up. You can't be doing bad things. You can't fuck up. You got to be careful. You know, don't fucking use the bad papers. You can do this over here. You can't work over there. They're still corporate. They check on the air, blah, blah, blah. Oh, they have a raid happening in North End. You can't work in North End that often. You have that chip there. That's the first year, right? It's a year. You've been here a year. That's the middle of that much. You can go back home. It's like a year, whatever. It's like a vacation. It's another pandemic, whatever. 2 years. Okay. It's getting there. 3 years, okay, now you establish yourself in another country. You're here for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years go by. Now you live here. Mm-hmm. What happens when you get caught in the 8th year or the 7th year?
Yeah.
You get deported back. All that those 7 years, which is, you know, it's not a lifetime, but it's 7 years, 8 years. And you go back to start from what? Scratch. Because all the money, everything you made, all the time you wasted, it's gone. So now there are people that young that just came in here to this country illegally. I'm not promoting being coming here to this country illegally. I'm just saying the people that have been here for not that long, they don't have as much sleuths as the people that have been working here the longest, which proves you that they're working here for a long time. They've been working really hard to stay here.
Yeah, because you've like invested and created a life here. You've invested yourself and your time. And your frankly, time. Some of your absolute best years.
Yeah, exactly. And you're young and you want to make money and, you know, prop your family. And that is when, you know, for me, it's the fear start kicking in. I'm like, holy shit, I've been here 8 years now.
You have so much to lose.
I got nothing to go back to, like zero. Mm. My dad's company got expropriated. My dad has one company. It's bankrupt. I have no money. This is when I was 8 years in here. Like, I can't fly back. I can't say anything. My brother left. My brother, like, started playing basketball. He went to Italy. He's playing professionally. I'm, like, by myself with those happening. But in the back of my head, my dad did encourage me. And he said it. Like, he literally, after the whole thing happened, like, he texted me. He called me. And he's, like, that's part, by the way, which is, I'm not trying to shoe in the freaking Jack Daniels shit, but it's part of the Jack Daniels bullshit. Part of the thing he told me is like, hey, just stay there and make your future in Boston. Like, he told me this, like, just quédate en Boston y haz tu futuro. Exactly told me that. And I could have go back and work there, like, back by my house. I will, you know, I will make it. I'll be fine. But having that commitment, my dad be like, tell my son that he can stay away from his family to be a better human, or like make it better. For always will be there. Always.
What a fucking thing that is to say, though. That's wild. Like,
to your oldest son.
That's the mark of like a true adult, you know, a true like who can say something that requires tremendous sacrifice and tremendous hardship and ask you to do that because he knows it's the thing that's the best for you. It's crazy.
And now, like, fast forward time, you see how Venezuela is doing. I'm like, holy shit. My old man was a magician and he loved me very much. And he told me for the better thing. So, you know, it's sad. Like, at the end of the years, it's had happened. And he started calling me 30, 40 times a day. And I'm like, oh, something's wrong. Tell my brother this is happening. I said, okay. So my brother actually could fly to Venezuela and stay there. I cannot leave the country yet. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, dad's suffering from, you know, cardiovascular dementia and Alzheimer's. I'm like, fuck, crazy. Like, what do I do? You know, like, I got nothing to, like, what can I do?
You remember that conversation where you found that out? The Alzheimer's?
No, because it's not a conversation, Lou. This thing about Alzheimer's is never a conversation. What happens is you have a series of conversation that you realize you have the same conversation. Mm. And that's when you know something's wrong. Like, my dad just called me 10 minutes ago to tell me something about shoes. And calls me 5 minutes after and asks me about the same shoes again. And you're like, okay, something's off. And then you have the same conversation the same day about the same shoes. And you're like, fuck, this is not normal. This is normal. I was like, my dad might be drunk, but like, no, my dad was always a good drunk. He would just sing. Like, he would just sing opera. Like, that's my dad.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? So like, Oscar, I have an interesting story about it because like my grandfather on my dad's side was like a super successful guy. You know, he did all this unbelievable stuff. He was a pretty like famous guy in the 60s and 70s and in sports and all this sort of stuff. And he got into his 80s and I was like, oh my God, like this guy was in a spy in China in World War II. He coached the New England Patriots. So, like, he grew up in the Great Depression. Like, he has like AFL championship rings. He was president of the Yankees. So, I got to go and like preserve this guy's memories, right? But by the time I had the idea, he had already started losing it, buddy. Like, he would just tell one story and it would just kind of change into another story and
go back to the same story.
And then go back to the, and you just wouldn't. And it was like, I remember the last words he ever said to me, because I was like, fuck, I got my laptop, but this isn't going to work. He said to me, I'm really sorry. You're going to think the old man is shot, you know? And that was the last thing he ever said to me. And he died like 3 months later, man, you know, but I can relate to that so much.
Yeah.
That, man. You know, this is the only thing you got. Like,
but it's funny, brain, you know, it's not funny. It's very interesting that you and I are the same thing. It's like memories. Like, you want to preserve his memories. Cause like, that's all we are. Like, that's all we fucking have. Like, if you and I talk, or me and Gabby talk about something, it'll be like, we did this, we have these memories, we like, we all are just a shell convoluted thing about memories, and that's all we are as a human.
And you know what's the scariest part about it? Memories fade, buddy. They fade all the time, and it's terrifying.
What are you scared of, Oscar? Cats? The darkness? I'm like, to be fucking forgotten. Yeah. And like, no, it's like such a philosophical and dumbass question and answer that you're like, shit, like, why don't you just make the best out of everything you fucking do? Like, you're gonna be forgotten, dude. Why you gotta be a fucking douchebag? So that explains a lot of me being always hype, always good mood, trying to cheer people up. Because at the end of the fucking day, dude, it doesn't even fucking matter. Just be fucking nice to people. Be happy about it. Yes, you can be sad. You are respected to your fucking, you know, feelings. But don't be a bad human. Why the fuck you spend your time to be remembered and then forgotten for being a douchebag? Like, fuck you. Like,
so I had no idea we were so similar, because I've said this before many times. My biggest fear in life is living an unremarkable life, just like a monotone life that nobody gives a fuck about. Like, in the cosmic sense of things, it's impossible to be remarkable, right? Like, the universe is 14 billion years old, but the pursuit of it is still noble. And I think you're doing a hell of a job of it by preserving a lot of your youth and a lot of your ideas in these fucking videos and all this sort of stuff. So you got to give yourself a lot of credit there.
Yeah, thanks, man. I'm trying. It's, again, falls out to my dad. Like, he was the goofiest fucker I know. Like, I can send pictures to you guys, like freaking, you know, flower shirts and goofy hats. And like, he was, I would like to say that he was the biggest inspiration to be the human I am today. But yes, we have to keep it up, man. You have to be just a good human overall. Try to be some cheer to this world. There's so much bad shit out there, dude. Like, why would you spend time just being shittier? Yeah. Like, why you would do that?
Yeah. Well, so how did you find out about your dad?
Well, it was just a call. The day he passed away, or like when he started listening. Yeah. Well, the day he passed was my aunt. They called me. I was living maybe like two blocks from here, actually. I got a call from my aunt. It's like, hey, we're here with your dad, but he can't talk anymore. Like, you know, once the dementia kicks in, or the Alzheimer kicks in, you have this ticking bomb. You have the time, you can talk, you have some memories, you have some slurring. But once you lose the ability to talk, because your brain can't do it anymore, that's when the red light comes up, and like, that's when, like, okay, you know, the tire light goes on. It's like, something's fucked up. Like, this is, you know, it's happening. That happened a couple weeks before the call, and they just FaceTimed me with my dad, and just crazy how having it's an empty vessel. It's an empty vessel. Yeah. Like, the human, you know, the person you love, being there, you can tell like how crazy we are, because we have, you know, our eyes, you can see somebody's like personality or some of by their eyes or the emotions or their face, and having to pick like a video of my dad and be like an empty vessel, just like, holy shit.
Did you reality. Feel fear?
Not fear, emptiness. Is that the same, emptiness and fear?
I think they're different. No, yeah, they're definitely different.
Cause like, I'll be like scared of it, right? I'd be like, fuck. I was like, no, I was like, I feel a void. Like, it's like, it's a husk of a man. My dad is not there anymore. This is an empty vessel. And you like feel like that's, you know, you're like, you feel that in your chest, right? In the middle of your chest, you're like, fuck. And that's not fear, scare, like, oh, I'm horrified. It's like a void of emptiness. You're like, holy shit. You know, we're humans and we can be gone in any time.
Like, yeah. So that's kind of why that's for me personally, it made me feel fear, because there, but for the grace of God goes I, you know, and that's a selfish emotion. I'll admit it.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. but like life ends always. Mm-hmm. It will always end. And always. I was having a conversation the other day at the bar.
So we get it too dark here, by the way. So
this is the good stuff.
Gabby's like, what the fuck is happening?
No, I'm like almost close to tears here. I should flex a little bit just to kind of get back in the game.
I didn't mean to trap you, Lou.
Well, no, I was having a conversation at the bar the other day, and you know, I used to, I don't know what you would call it really. I believe most people would refer to it as a severe alcohol problem.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, like I was drunk 7 days a week for, I don't know, 12 years or something like that. And
holy shit.
And it was, and then I started, I had to stop. And the guy asked me, he's like, what made you stop? And I was like, you know what? I was losing the guy upstairs. I was losing my brain. I was foggy. My brain wasn't firing the way it did. And it absolutely terrified me, you know? So a disease like Alzheimer's to me is terrifying. It makes me personally feel so much fear. And like I said, I understand that's a selfish way to think about it, but I'm terrified by it.
You are allowed to be selfish on those things. You're allowed to be selfish. It's about you. It's about you. You got allowed to be fucking selfish. Yes, you're scared about this. It's because you. It's not like selfish would be like, no, fuck all these other people. I don't give a fuck about them. No, you care because it's you, man. You got to be selfish about it. It's you. The other day, it's like your happiness. It's your fears. It's you. You've got to be selfish about that. You're the only one who's got control about that. So.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. I'm going to bring a word into this conversation and you can react however you want. But the word that I keep hearing is just regret, you know, and it was a situation that was out of your control with your inability to go there and see and do. But where, like,
no,
did you feel a lot of regret about it?
No, because if you hang into that, dude, if you hang into like, I regret doing this, then where you stop. Like literally where you stop. You regret not taking the other language. You regret not doing anything through the pandemic. You regret not doing this. And you regret. And then you stop the motion. You keep going backwards. You keep being like, I'm going to hold into every single thing in the past that I did not fucking do. And that's just going to hold you back. And it sounds so cliche that we're talking about this because it is real life. And it's like, if you hold to these little fucking things that you didn't do and you regret all of them, then you don't move on. Then you just stay in the same fucking stage. Like you have to level up. It sounds so fucking stupid, but you have to. Yeah. You're like, I have to let this shit go. Like, don't let, like, people ask me, and I hate this. You probably get this all the time, y'all. It's, what did you do during the pandemic? And I was like, fucking had the greatest time of my life. Yeah. I do whatever the fuck I want to do. Oh, did you learn a new language? No. Did you learn your instrument? It's like, yeah, I learned the fucking accordion. Really? No, I didn't fucking do it. Like, dude, I did what I wanted to fucking do. And like, don't let anybody fucking judge you and make you have regrets about things. Because fuck them. People ask me, what are you doing in the pandemic? I was like, yo, I fucking read manga, comics, catch up in a bunch of dumb shit. I spent some time watching a dumbass Joe Exotic. Loved it. Fuck it, Tiger King. Like, I fucking wasted my time. And you know what? I have not a single fucking regret. I spent my whole fucking time being home, making myself comfortable, enjoying time with my girlfriend and my puppy. Don't let anybody hold you back on like, oh, do you regret not doing this shit? No, fuck that. Never fucking let people hold that against you because that will hold you back forever.
Damn, I'm about to play this John Cena song again. Like, I might just like pop that back in here, fucking pumping me up. But I want to open the floor to Gabby. I know she had something to say that we both screamed over. So,
no, I just that it's the idea of regret to me is really interesting because, of course, I have regrets. There, like, if I could, you know, people are like, oh, if I could live my life over again, I'd do it all the same again. I was like, that's dumb. Like,
that's
no,
very dumb.
I would do lots of things differently. I can, you know, I can see mistakes I've made in the past so but much more clearly now.
It won't be you,
but,
then.
But I do accept the decisions that I've made and I own them, right? Like, I, you know, it's not about, it's regret. To me, regret's about looking back and saying, that probably wasn't the best choice, but I made it. So, okay. You know, and you just have to move on. But if you dwell on regret and if you kind of stay thinking about like what the other choice might have led to or whatever, you start ruminating and that's not productive. But I think it's a little ingenuous to say, oh, I have no regrets. Cause that means you weren't living, right? Like you didn't, you know, you didn't do anything worthwhile.
Dude, if you see my fucking prom pictures, I'll be like, what the fuck was I doing? I regret all this shit. I look like a fucking penguin. It's like, yes, you can regret shit. Absolutely. Yeah. Listen, there's some regrets in life because you're like, oh man, I shouldn't have that. Especially when it's like, you know, middle of the night and you have that cringe moment you fucking did in high school and you're like, fuck. Yes. But you're not going to hold to that shit. You're like, it happened. It built you to where you are. Yeah, you regret it. Awesome. Water on the fucking bridge. Move on.
Yeah.
So how long ago was your dad's passing?
4 years ago.
4 years ago. So unfortunately
with the pandemic kind of time. So
but he unfortunately didn't get to see a lot of your recent success.
No, but he made sure that tell me he was proud of me every time he see me. And he will say that every 30 calls he made, you know.
Yeah.
It's like
your dad seems awesome. Like I wish I could have met him. You're great too, but like
oh fuck up, lady. No, my dad, he his nickname was Malavita, which is like bad life. but it was sarcastic. Like, it was like, right. People were like, dude, why do you need to fucking shoot a full moon all the time? Like, that I was telling Lou, is like, I am like that. And I want to have that energy and I want to be that human. I want to be that person that my dad was. It's like, everybody was having a bad time, but you can count that Malavita who was cheerful that time. Like, he will, you know, trying to bring the best out of you, have a conversation with you. Sure, you know, give me some of his knowledge. He went through a rough childhood as well. He was very poor. We made it to be middle class, high class to a point in Venezuela, and then shit crumbles down again. So, like, he has it up and down about everything. Yeah. He was a national champion. And listen to this, which is fucking insane to me, because I grew up with this culture. He was a speedboat champion. Venezuela apparently is known for, you know, speedboat and Orinoco, the river. They have like this fucking like huge competitions. My dad was national champion 3 times. So he was all about boats, all about the river, all about the life that can't tell us that, which is like, it's a, imagine like a racer life, right? Like, you're a racer. Like, so it sounds like silly to me, like, think about it right now, but it's like, he was a racer. Like, he will have like,
you got the speed suit, you got the cool sunglasses,
crazy
you're fucking
to me.
Balling.
Dude, it's crazy. Awesome. I go through the pictures. I wish I could show you the pictures. I will have them at hand. But it's like pictures of me with like wearing like a, you know, my little life jacket with like a golden medal that my dad just won, or like a big check, and like, but that's a racer. Like, I grew up with that shit. So
that's
like
so fun.
Yeah, so it's like a really random thing with it. That was my dad. That was his thing. And it's funny that like a lot of that, it's like the bombastic or like the big energy comes from that. And he was not afraid to be himself. Like, he didn't give a flying fuck what people said to me. And I think I grew up with that and I took that in. And it's one of the best things I got from my dad besides the mustache, which is not that good. His was magnificent. Mine is like, I got to like paint so I make it look good. But I did
get implants.
Yeah. So like, yeah, no, fuck that. That hairline's gone. No more of that. So no more implants.
I'm trying to get like mustache weaves that you can weave in or something.
Just like make it look better. But I did get that from him. Is the energy, is the positivity and look at the stuff. So like, I will always think from that. Like, I will always think about that.
I love hearing that. I just, you know, the one thing that I thought about all the time is, especially with a disease like Alzheimer's or something, you think about later, like, oh my God, I didn't say this thing. And why didn't I do this? And why didn't I find out about this? And I should have asked about this. But like, you know, if you had that one shot, right, to send one message to dad, like, what would it be? If you had just that one try, like, what would be that message you would send to the old man?
So my dad, the old man, I was just telling you, you were right. You were absolutely right. Make your future in Boston. That was the best decision. Just, you were right.
That's the coolest thing I think about your dad, is that he was enough of an adult to say, you have to go and do this. And I'm sure it hurt him.
To your own kid, to send your own kid out, because that's the right thing for him.
Yeah.
Well, and the big thing is, like, I wasn't planning on it. Like, I just came here on vacation. My whole thing started on a vacation. I just came here to visit my brother. He was playing for Mass Bay Community College. He was playing basketball. He was full scholarship. So I came to visit him, which is a funny part, because he was my captain in high school and he's my little brother. So I was like, fuck, my little brother's better than me in basketball. Fuck him. So came to visit him and stay here. We're like hanging out. And he's telling me the story about like, he's going to sign and like, he's going blah, blah, blah overseas, all this shit. And I'm like, this is exciting. This is really fucking dope. So I stay a month. I was staying at Cleveland Circle all the time. And I was like, you know what? I'll stay a couple months more. I can, with my visa, tourism, I can stay a couple more months. Fuck it, I stay 3 months, which is almost a cap. And I like, a middle of like 2.5 months, my dad, that's when he makes the call. And he's like, hey, things are not looking good down here.
Yeah.
They're expropriating a lot of business. They're taking a lot of stuff from, you know, the government's nationalizing or privatizing or taking away things that are private, blah, blah, blah. They want to get political. So they take away one of my dad's companies. And he's like, I will rather you make a very conscious decision, see if you're comfortable, you know the language a little bit, and you're young and you know how to work. I mean, I was like 12, which is like, you know, the generic, you know, Hispanic mentality that old dads have, like, you have to work. I'm like, no, fuck you. You got to make your own bread. Like, he made, like, we have the you know, the culture of the, you have to work. And he was like, you know, stay and trying to make your future in Boston. At that point, he sold, by the way, I'm 22 years old, just fresh off the plane, full set of hair, fantastic life ahead of me. I have my
apartment. I thought you were talking about now. I'm like, oh
no, 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 this is 22 back then. Full set of hair. I have my own apartment, my own, like, my own car in Venezuela. I'm fucking set. I have a job. I'm fucking eating the world life. And my dad is like, you have to stay. And I'm like, fuck, like, serious. It's not a, you know, it's not a joke. He's saying this. So I stay. He sold my apartment and sold my car and I stay. So I have, which would be translated to like $50,000 in my pocket. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm young. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to fucking kill the world. And they're like, well, how do you become legal, dude? I'm like, well, that's a problem. We'll figure that out after. Let's go back to school. Maybe they give me a student visa. I didn't know how fucking expensive it was to go back to school. I graduated already from Venezuela. Fucking business administration. I have my diploma. It's going to be fucking easy. They're like, no, you have to go back to school to make those credits the same. And I'm like, wait, what? So my diploma doesn't worth anything here? It's like, it's worth, but you have to go back to school to prove that it's worth. And I'm like, okay, how much is that going to cost? It's like, oh, like $35,000. And I'm like, oh, like my, it's like my parents don't have money. Like they losing a lot of shit on there. Like I'm by myself here. Like I can't spend that much money. So I'm like, all right, you know what? Fuck it. I won't do that. So I'm going to rent an apartment in the atrium in near BU, which was like $2,700 a month. Cause you know, fuck it. I got the money.
Wow.
This is on the hype of fucking Von Duge and Ed Hardy. So I'm buying Ed Hardy, True Religion, and all these dumbass fucking clothes I don't need. I fully furnished an apartment with leather couches, big TV. Blew all the money, every single fucking money. I did the Hispanic thing, which is I'm going to go to fucking nightclubs and fucking buy bottles. I got $50,000. It lasted me 4 months. Then I was fucking broke, $0. I had $100 and living in my brother's apartment, and he's like, I'm leaving soon because I got signed. I'm leaving the fucking country, and I'm like, I'm fucked. So I'm looking for job, looking for job, looking for jobs. And I made a stupid decision to always be like, oh, you guys aren't here, but I don't have papers. And they're like, get the fuck out. I'm like, okay, I'm leaving. Bye. So either way, we went through all the hoops, got there. My first job was at the Landing in Boston as a barback. Oh my God. I fucking hated that job so much. So bad.
But it made you the giant success story that you are today.
Now it is. But you can see how all this process of like me trusting my dad's word to stay and fucking work paid off.
Your dad is like, stay in the United States. Dress in Ed Hardy. You're going to be great. We have had such a good time talking to Oscar Simosa Misla today. What an amazing amalgamation of stories. We have, normally I ask people, hey, what did you learn from this? I think we've learned everything from it already. So Oscar, thank you so much for telling us about something not awesome.
Yeah, but that's the awesome part. But
and with that, we're going to move on to our final game. You know, we've had a little too much getting along and positive energy today. So we're playing our last game today. We're playing our last, it's a brand new game. It's called You're an Idiot, okay? It's a debate game. We're gonna give our contestants three topics. Whoever gets the topic gets to choose whether they are going to be for that topic or against that topic. And they're gonna choose one of those two things. And then the second person has to choose the other one. So if the first person chooses for, the second person's gonna have to argue against it. But the second person has to start off their argument with the words, you're an idiot, and then tell them why they're an idiot. Are you guys ready to play You're an Idiot?
Yeah.
Who's debating here? I don't even know.
You're going first. You're going first. It's you versus me after.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
So you're going to get to choose first, Oscar.
Let's do it in Spanish so they don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
The first topic is Michigan, the state of Michigan. You're going to argue for or against the state of Michigan. Choose. Which one do you want, Oscar?
I don't even fucking know anything about Michigan, dude. So I'm going to say I'm for it. I'm
for it. All right, let's hear it.
For it. Well, what can I say? Michigan. What's there to not love about Michigan besides having a dumbass name like Michigan? You have to love it. They have what, like two good fucking colleges? I fucking love it. Like, it's the best fucking state. Is it state? I don't even know because my
unbelievable ever heard. I mean, he absolutely killed it. Two colleges, great. Gabby, your turn. Tell him he's an idiot.
Oscar, I don't think she has to.
Respectfully, you're an idiot. Now, I lived in Michigan for 8 years. And the entire time I lived in six different places. You know why? because every year I was like, this is the year I leave.
I've been doing that for 14 years in Boston.
Every year I'm like, no, I'm getting out this year. But it's like, it's got some good schools, you're right. And it probably will be the last safe place to live when climate change consumes the US. It's got all that great water. But it's it's just a little bit boring. It's just, it's got, you know, it's as segregated as the South. It's not known for its culture. It's got a lot of...
But the culture, they have the best universities there. What are you talking
Michigan
about?
Michigan getting absolutely destroyed in the first half. Okay. By
Oscar? Yeah. What the fuck do I know about Michigan?
He's asking me about... No.
Let me write down the scores here. No.
You're
okay,
absolutely
Michigan.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Michigan has been scored. Okay, we're going to move on to our second topic. Gabby is going to get to choose for or against for this topic. This topic, Gabby, for or against babies?
Fuck.
Why are you doing this to me?
Are you for babies or against babies, Gabby?
All right. Well, I'm going to take the popular choice. I'm going to go for babies. Okay, so here's the thing about babies. Everyone you've ever loved was once a baby.
All right.
Okay. You know, and you were once a baby. So if you like people and you want the human race to continue, you gotta love babies, and they're cute and they're funny and they're kind of like just tiny drunk adults. So they're very entertaining, and you can just shape them into whatever you want them to be through conditioning. Cause you just, as we said before, people are just memories. So you give them the right kind of memories, you can make the person that you want.
I love this. I'm gonna cut that up and send it right to your mother. Okay, over to Oscar. You have to argue against babies.
Gabby?
Yes.
I'm sorry, but you're an idiot. You know who was a fucking baby too? Hitler. You fucking love Hitler? God. No, because he was a fucking baby too, right? So fuck it. You know who was a baby too? Mussolini.
Wow.
No, you don't like, see, yeah. So like, yeah, they're like little cute. They know what the fuck they're doing. Like,
little baby Hitler with a little
I don't. Fuck that. That sounds fucking horrible. Babies are the fucking devil's spawns. All of them. You think you get to fucking shit whatever you want without fucking consequences? You go to fucking jail if you do that. Oh, but babies can fucking do it? Fuck that. You know what they all do? Walk around fucking naked without a shirt. That's fucking illegal as well. Fuck that. They should not be fucking babies allowed on face of earth.
What a
babies are getting a free pass.
No, fuck babies.
Unbelievable argument, Oscar, coming over the top. We've got just a little bit of time for the third topic. We're going to Oscar to choose for or against spending over 72 hours with your family. I think Oscar, we may know what he may select on this one.
Against.
Oh, what? Uh-oh. A shock! What? All right, in 30 seconds or less, Oscar, what do you got?
Family's not everything. Fuck you, Vin Diesel. You can fuck it off. Not real. That fucking shit is bullshit. You don't get to fucking choose your own family. That is garbage, man. Fuck Vin Diesel.
Fuck Vin Diesel. What an argument. Gabby, rebuttal.
All right. Pro, your family.
Gabby.
Oh, sorry. Oscar. Vin Diesel. Samosa. You are an idiot.
Family.
Family. You know what? Family, they know all your secrets, all the weird things you did as a kid, all the embarrassing moments. And so you need to put in the credit with those people so they do not release your secrets to the world.
Fuck that. Doesn't count. You know what? Like you said, because I was a fucking baby. Fuck
that. Tell her she's an idiot. You got to say you're an idiot first, Oscar.
You got to take care that your secret weird baby habits don't get out into the world.
And with that, what a face off. What a battle of the minds today. I think the winner is everybody. Great job on our game. You're an idiot. And with that, we're going to close out the show. I want to say thank you so much, Oz, for coming on the show. You've been wonderful. I love you. I hope to see you in person soon.
Oh, I see y'all soon, bro. I really appreciate it.
Love you too. Oh my God. Gabby, wonderful to see you. And that has been our show today. Thank you so much for joining us on Prognosis Awesome. And we will see.